thing, this thing is probably going to stay around for 2 weeks until the wife makes me shave it for pictures.
I thought you said you were doing Thanksgiving pictures. Thanksgiving is next Thursday. So
no, we're doing pictures the week of Thanksgiving.
So next week.
So 1 week. Yeah, my math is great.
That's, I just, like, for a minute there, I thought you had more than that, and I was, like, upset. So
SMRT. SMRT.
SMART.
I learned it.
Yeah. All right. I already hit record, so, Jerry, do you want to do a little intro here?
Yeah. You want me to do the...
Just do it right now, man. Just organically write us in.
Sounds good. Hello again, Broncos country, and welcome back to another edition of the Orange Weekly pregame podcast. We're coming off of two very tough losses to two very terrible defenses in which our offense did terrible. I think I said terrible enough times, and we're going to move on. Basically, what we're looking at this week is we're looking at the Miami Dolphins, who are on a hot streak with a young quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. Nope. So we're going to go ahead and
Not even close.
Nope.
Tagovailoa?
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. Oh, I missed a consonant in there. Okay.
You missed a whole syllable in there, buddy.
Tagovailoa. Tagovailoa?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Tua.
All right, so, okay, yeah. So, all right.
Don't even restart. You're not restarting this close.
You're just going to not let me even fix
going.
This.
We're going.
All right. Yeah. Well, Tua is going to have a interesting game against a defense who's been struggling without a defensive coordinator and Donatel, who's still out with COVID, still in the hospital with COVID. So we have a lot to talk about this week. So please sit back, relax, have a drink for us, and enjoy another edition of the Orange Weekly podcast.
Beautiful.
Yeah, because Jared definitely needs another drink.
Yeah, he's seriously playing. Boy, let's see how many times we can get him to pronounce it a different way.
I also don't know if you noticed, but I was very proud of myself thinking I said it right.
No, you had that. You thought you had that. You were like very clearly convinced that you were like, yes, I've got this one.
And you were starting anything here. Before anything happens, Jared, what was the score of our fantasy game last week?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, that's
too bad. I don't want to talk about it.
But it's not as bad as freaking David down there. Like,
oh, he's, you know, for all the crap he talked about, I went 0-2 to begin the season, and I'm doing pretty well now. And all the crap he talked, and now look at him.
It was real easy when I was 1-0 and riding high, baby. Now it's 2-8, I think, at this point. And firmly bringing up the rear of the league here.
Four consecutive losses, David.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Took it on the chin again this week against the auto draft team, who, by the way, has Brandon Jacobs and got to play the Broncos. So he had two touchdowns. And
Brandon Jacobs?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Brandon Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs.
Oh, yeah.
Man. I think we've both.
Jared right there.
Right.
That's fair. I went like 2004 New York Giants there for a second. Sorry, guys. Josh Jacobs is on the auto draft team, and he just he had a week. This week, as we all got to see.
I also had a week against Jared, let me tell you, man.
He did.
Ben Roethlisberger, Alvin Kamara, and DeAndre Hopkins. I'm telling you, the last 10 seconds of that game, man, it was like, boom, 10 points, boom, 10 points.
He destroyed me. He destroyed me.
Annihilated
you. All right, perfect. Yeah. Well, now that we got that out of the way, Tua Tagovailoa, Leilola, and the Miami Dolphins. Is it going to be another shit-kicking, boys?
Well, I'll tell you, Jared, I think maybe retired the word terrible a little bit too early in the podcast, because I feel like we're going to have to use it some more tonight.
We'll pick synonyms. Awful. Yeah. Atrocious.
Mind-numbing.
Jared's mustache.
There you go.
That's
also
a very good synonym. So, here's a quiz. Quick quiz for both of you guys. Last week we were 31st overall in offense. What are we this week?
32nd.
Nope, 31st, still 31st. Yeah. Last week we were 32nd overall in special teams. Where are we sitting?
Definitely 32nd.
Yeah. Oh,
we're
man, it's bad.
32nd all year.
And who's number one in special teams, Jared? Do you have that by any chance? All right. Well, where are the Dolphins? Because I thought it was the Dolphins.
Give me a minute, and I bet you I can find out.
Was the Colts at 91.9. Okay.
Damn.
And then that's the Broncos are 41.4. They are a whole 50 points.
Oh. it's real sad.
Oh, it's real bad. The Dolphins are middle of the pack in pretty much everything, like 18th right. special teams, total defense. Okay. Like, the total defense are 21st. They don't play like it, though. Like,
no.
Boy, that unit is, like, firing.
They are on the rise, really too. Oh, that's the thing. They're up on the upswing, I think, as their offense has kind of figured out how to play with Tua. Their defense has really been taking hold and helping them to not only stay in games, but, like, win games.
Well, it's, you know, right. Brian Flores, man, coming from the Patriots school of football. You know, he's running that similar kind of system. He's brought in really good players, you know, through free agency and even the draft, like notably Xavier Howard, Byron mm-hmm. Jones, two big free agents, Kyle Van Noy coming in from, you know, his time with the Patriots. Shaq Lawson was another big free agent. You know, these are players that, like, they were stars on their teams and, you know, they brought them all together. And usually when that happens, it doesn't look very good for a while. But this year, man, Flores has got his defense, like, I don't know. They look legit. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's very much a team, a young team, but, you know, you've mentioned those veterans in the secondary there. I think that helps. And really along the defensive line, too. I think that helps them so much, knowing what Brian Flores wants to execute, having ex-Patriots like Van Noy come in and immediately just know that system.
Right.
Playing a lot of cover zero, just like they do in New England, blitzing a ton.
They're built from the secondary down. A lot of teams
yeah,
built from
absolutely.
The front and go back, but just like the Patriots, you know, when they signed Stephon Gilmore and they signed Darrelle Revis before and they've signed Aqib Talib, like they've always gone at Ty Law, if we want to go way back, they've always gone after like really good corners. And same here, he's got Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. And drafted, I'm not even going to try his last name, man. I'm going to sound like Jared.
It's Igbinoghene. That one's easy.
Igbinoghene. Thank you. There Noah Igbinoghene. Jared?
Ibanabadoobadoobie.
Perfect. Wow. Right, ooh, you, this is upsetting. Border.
You should see me do a hockey draft. When I'm in an NHL hockey draft, just imagine how I pronounce names of all the Russians and the Swedes.
Even the French Canadians, it's not going to be real easy.
Nope. It's amazing.
Yeah,
darn
French Canadians. So here's my question now. So we're talking about this game. We're talking about how they're building from the secondary down. They do a lot of really cool blitz packages. David tagged me in something on Twitter that showed me some of the kind of movements that they have on the defensive line. You really don't know who's coming, who's not, and then they end up sending everybody. They drop back a couple. It's really hard to read pre-snap, which honestly, this is going to sound terrible, but it probably works out better for us because we're not good at reading pre-snap in the first place. So
it might work well for us.
I mean, it's not like it's going to change. It's not going to change much. So, but this is what's going to happen. So with that being said, are we going to try to go back to what our strength is and go back to the run?
I mean, we'll see. The Dolphins' defense is overall 21st on as far as PFF rankings go. But I think they really match up pretty well against us, especially in the passing game, no matter who's at quarterback, and we'll get into that a little bit. But, I think it's kind of a broken record at this point, but establishing the run is super necessary for, I think, to have any chance of winning this game, no matter who's playing at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of sad to say that we have to go back to our strengths when we should be sticking with our strengths every week. But, hey, we're not NFL coordinators, so what do we know? But effectively, like, Philip Lindsay needs to be the focal point of this offense. Like, Drew Lock, man, like, I still believe in him. I still think he's going to be a great quarterback once he gets more experience. But every week, man, he just seems more rattled. And now, you know, he's hurt again and again. This is getting a little shady. Like, you know, something needs to change for this playing style needs to like adjust so he can keep himself healthy. But I think that starts with Philip Lindsay getting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And we've talked about it in length on the Tuesday night live show. We've Kevin and Tanner talked about it pretty well to listen. If you want to listen to the pregame or the postgame podcast, they talked about it in pretty depth. We need to feed Phil. There's no reason we shouldn't be feeding Phil. There's no reason that even, there's no reason we shouldn't be giving the ball, even if he's the third guy on the depth chart for whatever reason. And I'm not sure where that lies. There's something going on behind the scenes that I probably don't know about. We probably don't know what's going on back there, but that we got to get the ball back to our running backs and go back to what we're used to doing and what we're good at.
Which is apparently something because we haven't seen it in freaking weeks now.
Right. Yeah. We haven't seen it since the Chargers game.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And honestly, they were trying to abandon the run game in that until Philip Lindsay broke off that that big touchdown to start bringing us back in the game. They were trying to abandon it. So I don't know. I get that the spread offense is nice. I like that Pat Shurmur wants to run a spread offense and try to get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. But I think two of our main playmakers are in the backfield, and Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay. And that's what we need to get the ball to.
And their main playmakers are in their defense.
Playmakers, backfield. Right. Yeah, so yeah. Playmakers. I may have had a drink or two. All right.
I think that should be I think you could revolutionize several positions with that term playmakers. It's like, maybe it's like Isaiah Simmons comes into the league and he's not a linebacker. He's not a safety. He's a playmaker. What do you think?
He's a playmaker.
There's playmakers and then there's playmakers.
That's right.
Right. You know what I mean? I'm gonna make an Orange Weekly T-shirt that says playmaker.
M-A-C-K-E-R-S.
K-E-R-S.
Yeah. M-A-C-K-E-R-S.
Oh, man. Yeah. The soon-to-come Orange Weekly merchandise store with all Jerry's
shit. With all of my sayings. Yeah. The other one that's going to be a hot seller is we are not mathematically eliminated. That's the other big T-shirt we're going to sell in the Orange Weekly store.
It's going to be great.
You should just slap that on your flag, man. Just call it out. That's war. Guys, we're still in this, all right? We're still going.
We got this.
We're good. Anyways. Again, like the big playmakers, however we call it, for the Dolphins are really in the secondary. Honestly, veterans across the board, young players as backups. This is a hard team to pass against. Even to run against, Kyle Van Noy is pretty strong. Andrew Van Ginkle, I hear his name all the time, every game I watch playing on the weak side between Shaq Lawson. Like, they play different fronts, ranging from 34s to 43s to 33s. They're very hybrid-oriented, just like the Patriots. So, outside of Philip Lindsay, do you see that there's a strength anywhere we can manipulate? Jared is just crying right now. So
as an offense, and we've seen it week in, week out. If we can really dial in, and if our quarterback can really dial into this offense, it could be dangerous. But we haven't seen it, and we haven't been able to see it. I still think, no matter who the cornerback is, whether it's Xavien Howard, whether it's the best cornerback in the league, I still think that we have a good chance of defeating defensive backs with Jerry Jeudy. I think Jerry Jeudy has the ability to break ankles and get open no matter who's covering him. I just don't think we're really using him as a first read yet. And I still think we're using him as a second, third kind of downfield guy. And that's what we're going to use. So, but again, I don't want to throw 41 times to try to find that out. But I think that's ultimately, if we can figure that out eventually, whether it be this season, whether it be the beginning of next season, that's what's going to do us in.
2 years from now, 4 years from now, when you draft
another quarterback. 8 or 9 years from now, eventually we'll get someone to cover a tight end too.
Wow, man. Mr. Optimistic. He's finally cracked for the year. Every year, man, there's a cracking point for Jared.
Yeah, for sure.
It's week 11 against the Dolphins. Like, fuck this. Fuck that, man. It's all garbage. We all suck. But no, we don't. I think, like, I don't know, man. Like, the Dolphins aren't invincible. Like, they're on a hot streak. They've won, I think, 5 in a row right now. Their defense is playing well. I don't know. Listen, like, I love watching the Dolphins play. I think they really show up in every game they're in. They're super underrated. I even tried to pick up their defense in fantasy to play against Broncos, but no, somebody beat me to it. So pretty upset there. But I don't know. On the other side of the ball, their offense, it appears to be still a bit of a ragtag group. But somehow, man, Tua has found a way to win his starts in like a kind of, not a very clean, flashy way, but, keeps the ball as safe as possible, makes the right throws. This kid's a winner already.
And, he's not blowing offenses away or defenses away. He's not blowing people away or anything right now. That game against the Rams was much more to do with how their defense played against Jared Goff as far as wins go. Mm-hmm. I think he played well against the Chargers. He's shown things already that he did well in college. Some of that stuff's already translating into the NFL for him, but he's also not quite there yet. And I think this side of the ball is definitely an advantage for the Broncos. You've got a Vic Fangio coach defense. And again, we mentioned Ed Donatell earlier. It sounds like he's out of the hospital and home now recovering, which is very good news. But yeah, just the fact that he had to go to the hospital in the first place, you never want to hear that. So very good to hear he's recovering. Hopefully he's, you know, obviously thoughts and prayers from our podcast and all our listeners go out to him. But yeah, not having him there again, it sounds like this week probably. I think even then Vic Fangio is going to have something really well cooked up for the young quarterback. We saw him take care of business against Justin Herbert. I think we can expect a really tough game plan from Vic Fangio.
Yeah, I agree. I think, young quarterbacks, man, they always struggle against really seasoned defensive coordinators. And again, we talk about this week after week, but still, the Broncos defense is the number three unit in the league.
Mm-hmm. It's even after last week, which is crazy because let's be honest, there was a breaking point for them too at the end of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. And that's really where it kind of started getting out of control after three interceptions at that point. It kind of got out of control. This defense is still good. And the other thing I want to mention about Tua, his last name, is that he's still young. He doesn't have a lot of starts in the NFL. We don't have a lot of game film on him as an NFL quarterback with the guys that he has. And I do think Vic Fangio can be that first defensive coordinator to really find out what his nick is and what it is that's going to make him not do as well as he normally is. But you're right, Matt. He's a ball control quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's someone that makes the easy reads. He makes the easy throws. They control the clock very well, which makes me think this game is going to be so low scoring because we're going to bend, not break, right? They'll get a couple first downs, get down to maybe the 40. We stop them before they're in field goal range. We get the ball back. And then we go three and out. They get the ball back. And then rinse and repeat. I think this is going to be a low scoring game for that reason. I think Vic Fangio is going to find out what makes Tua tick.
I really hope so. I mean, it'd be cool to watch that happen, have Tua have his first bad game. They beat the Rams defense, who I think, again, it was, the Dolphins defense really took control of that game. But the Rams are still a very, very good unit. They beat the Cardinals, too, who are, outstanding this year. They're talking about Kyler Murray for MVP, possibly. And then they beat the Jets, who they shut out the Jets, actually, which is
we beat incredible. The Jets. So,
Even the Broncos beat the Jets, man.
Right.
Even the Broncos did. But this is a good team, a very, very good team. But I do think Fangio has an advantage here. Okay, so on the Miami defense, let's bring it back here full circle. On the Miami defense, who's a player that you really – you worry about the most when you look at this unit? David.
Oh, gosh. I mean, you want to go Xavien Howard, obviously, but I look at a guy like Shaq Lawson, who is really coming on this season. He is a really steady edge presence there, and I'm really concerned about his ability to impact the run game, especially. If they bring him inside against Lloyd Cushenberry, that's going to be a matchup nightmare. I mean, really anybody against Lloyd Cushenberry right now is not a favorable matchup for the Broncos, but the way that, they're coached, they can find the best players to bring pressure against him on any given down. And I really think they are going to use Shaq Lawson in that capacity. But wherever they rush him from, I think he's got a good chance of getting inside and disrupting plays early. So they've really got to keep an eye on him.
Yeah. Jared?
I think it's Kyle Van Noy. I think he's an issue, especially if we are going to stick with this spread offense, try to, give whoever our quarterback is, which we haven't talked about yet, and I think we do need to, the ball to throw around. I think he's going to be an issue in the pass rush. I think he's going to be an issue in the passing game. And that's who I'm looking out for, is that in that middle, is Kyle Van Noy, because he can really disrupt a lot of things. He could play interior defensive lineman. He could play linebacker. And that's a dangerous combination for a playmaker.
Playmaker for sure. I'm going to pick another guy on the defensive line because I do think we should talk about the quarterback, Sitch, in a second. But I'm picking Raekwon Davis. He had a fantastic game against the Chargers. He's a big nose tackle, and again, somebody who paired up with Shaq Lawson up the middle against Cushenberry, against Glasgow. If he's coming off a hot game against the Chargers, he could probably take this momentum into this one. He's 6'7", 312 pounds, FYI, a very large human being. Very large. So let's flip it on
I was going to say that's a good point, because let's be honest, when we're talking about our offensive line, and obviously we're on our like fifth string right tackle at this point, but I do think a lot of our offensive line troubles start from the middle and our rookie Lloyd Cushenberry, and he hasn't really come into his own yet. I still have hope for him. I do think he will eventually come into his own, but he has been getting picked on a lot, and you're right. And those two guys are going to try to demolish him, and these guys know, this defensive coordinator knows that that's where our weakness is, and they're going to try to send the pressure right up the middle. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So let's flip it then on the Broncos offense, okay? Like, at quarterback, Locke is clearly hurt. He's got another kind of injury. Is it? It's not to his shoulder this time, right? Is it to his core, his ribs?
It's ribs.
No, it's the ribs, yeah. And they didn't call it bruised ribs. They just called it, like, tender, right? I think that's what the term
is. I think he's got a muscle strain. They confirmed today there's no fracture. So
that's good. So is he playing? He has to, I think, at this point, you know.
Probably. But you know, it's the kind of thing with rib pain where, like, you can give it a shot and see what he can do, but you can also end up accidentally puncturing his lung, maybe. You know. Or, you know, even in that scenario where you give him a shot, you know, if he gets hit again in that core area, and there's a pretty decent chance that he's gonna, you've got a high risk of re-aggravating the injury or causing a new injury there. So I would kind of expect them to err on the side of caution. I would expect him to definitely be trying to play. But we've seen Coach Fangio be a little bit more conservative with injury and not rush guys back this season. I think that might be what we end up looking at on Sunday.
And here's what I'm worried with that, is that there's so many people in Broncos country that are already calling for him to get replaced with Brett Rypien. Rypien didn't do that good when he played the one game for him.
No.
We won that game, though, didn't we?
It was the Jets game. Mistaken.
It was Jets, yeah. But look, I don't know. I don't think it's time to call for... So here it puts us into a situation where now Brett Rypien does come in. Say he plays decent, we may win, we may lose this game, and now Drew Locke's coming back healthy. Where does this put us in a situation where, what are we going to do? But I think you're right. I think the health comes first. Sit him for a little bit. Let him rest. Let him get his time in. And the other thing I want to mention, too, is something that I think that this is really an issue with Drew Locke, is I don't think he's reading film correctly. I don't think he's really going through his reads. I don't think he's really understanding what he needs to be doing when he goes into the games. And I still believe in Drew Locke. I don't want to go on this tirade without saying this. I still believe Drew Locke's our guy. I still believe he can get right. But this week, I think today, they decided that all NFL teams are going to go to basically Mission Essential only. All meetings and stuff are all going to be virtual. Obviously, practices are still going to happen, so I don't know how that's going to affect him, but I do think taking a week off is going to help him more than it's going to hurt him.
Yeah, hopefully he can stay healthy, but I don't think going to Cal Ripken is going to be a saving grace here. Like,
that's definitely not our saving, yeah.
No. You know, I mean, the only reason you should go to him is if Locke can't physically play, but otherwise, like, yeah, he might have had an okay game against the Jets, but so has everybody. It's not a good measure of success. And I don't know, man, like, it's hard for me to really get why the hate's all there for the Broncos. Cause like, Broncos are the only bad team in the league. I mean, sure, they might be, underachieving perhaps, I get it, but you know, we've listed the excuses for weeks now. At the end of the day, it's a young crew. I think it's been spoiled for so long with especially Manning most recently and being a top tier franchise and then dropping so quickly. It is what it is, but let's look at the long run. I still believe in Locke. And I mean, if he's not well enough to play, he shouldn't, you know, and that's just it, right? It's part of the game. There's already a third of the roster that hasn't really played or been injured all year. So, you know, it's not like it's something surprising for the Broncos, but say he does play. All right. Like, say he's good to go and he's on there. Who's somebody on the Broncos offense who you think can really take advantage of this game and, you know, maybe show up and be the leader in something?
I'm going to take this. I hope it's Phillip Lindsay.
Yeah.
I hope we go back to trusting him. I hope we go back to believing in what we have in a running back of Phillip Lindsay. Don't get me wrong. He's not perfect. He's not like our saving grace. He can't catch. to save his life, but in the run game, we can get him going. And anytime we do get him going in the run game, our team rallies around that. So as far as leadership goes, that's what you want. Yeah. Get someone who's motivated, who's going to run his hardest every single play, whether you're down 30 to nothing or, you know, you're up 30 to nothing. So that's, I think, who I want to see get a lot of carries. I want to see him get going, and I want to see him get that motivation going back for the offense. And especially if Drew Lock's playing, because he also builds on that swag. Like, he plays better when he has that little bit of, like, you know, Drew Lock swag that he has going.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think Lindsay is a big energy for that. You know, like, I'm going to pick Tim Patrick for this game. I know he's going to match up against some pretty tough cornerbacks. We talked about them already. But, man, when this guy's playing at his best, he's pretty good. And he's really been serviceable in this offense, especially with Cortland Sutton gone. So it makes me sort of excited for next year when Sutton is back and you have Jerry Jeudy and Hamler. And now Tim Patrick has really come together. Just, you know, more weapons to go off of, right? So, you know, I'm picking him because I think that, you know, although Jerry Jeudy can carry, you know, the majority of the first reads, Tim Patrick is still somebody who, like, you know, goodness, can really do that as well and provide that level of energy, you know, and the ability to make those catches. So hopefully against a tough DB group, Tim can come through.
Yeah, and I've been really high on Tim Patrick since he joined the Broncos. And I think he's a great receiver. I think he's doing pretty well. And he needs a bounce back game after getting to that fight against the Raiders.
Absolutely. And speaking of really high, David, who do you think on this offense is going to be?
Love it.
I'm going to go with KJ Hamler. You know, he's a guy who's gotten more targets, more receptions as the weeks have been going along. He's building a little bit more trust and a little bit more chemistry, I think, you know, from the coaches and it just, you know, from his offensive teammates as well. You know, we saw him make a couple of catches against the Raiders that, you know, not easy catches to make, maybe thrown away from his body a little bit, but he was still able to come up with some tough grabs. He's a guy with such speed, you know, game-breaking speed that if you can get him isolated down the field and take advantage of that, that's great. But even underneath, you know, you can just put the ball in his hands closer to the line of scrimmage, you know, and if you've got a soft zone or him matched up in man coverage on a short crossing route, just get him the ball and see what happens. You know, I think it would be a big help to a young quarterback, whoever's playing. And so, yeah, I think he's a guy who could potentially have a really big game.
Mm. Yeah, good pick. Now let's flip it. Let's go to the other side of the ball here. So, you know, on this Miami offense, okay, led by Chan Gailey. He's like 175 years old, man. Like, he makes Fangio look like a young man. Like, he's been coaching for a long time, a lot of offensive experience. You know, not somebody who you might immediately think of with a lot of NFL experience, but, man, he's been around. Now, with Chan Gailey and Tua Tagovailoa, they make a pretty nice duo so far. Tua really reminds me of, like, almost like Drew Brees in the Saints offense. Doesn't throw it deep, doesn't have the big cannon, but he's super accurate. He makes the right reads and he's patient and you know, he's mobile enough to extend plays. Other than him, okay, who's a player on this Dolphins offense that kind of, you know, makes you nervous, you know, that might go off in this game or might do some damage?
I'll take this one first. David. Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm going to go with Mike Gesicki, the tight end. He's got, you know, kind of that complete tight end game, sort of like Gronk, just not, you know, that elite level of talent. But
not as big, not as fast, not as strong.
Right, but he can still do a lot of good things like at a high level. Okay, all right, thanks. Really appreciate your support there. But, you know, an all-around tight end who can both block and run routes really competently. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. This Broncos defense sometimes doesn't handle tight ends that well. Darren Waller, I think we saw what he could do again last week. Yeah, Travis Kelce. All the tight ends in the division, really.
Sure, Aaron Hurst scored on you as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, I think if the Broncos can't – what happened here?
I'm tired of hearing all these tight ends that are doing very well against us.
Have another drink, man. Just take another sip. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, have a nice one. Yeah, so I think we're going to probably add Mike Gesicki to that list this week is the problem, Jared. So we'll have another one to talk about next week. Just if the Broncos can't contain him, can't keep him covered up, it's going to help this Dolphins offense a lot. Because you're right, Tagovailoa doesn't have that cannon arm, but if he can find Gesicki underneath in softer zones, that's going to be a problem for the Broncos defense.
Oh, and he'll probably find him there because that's where he's been finding him all year.
Right.
Jared, who are you picking for this offense?
So I'm gonna pick Devontae Parker. So their run game is not really established. They have a passing game in Tua, the short stuff, the quick stuff. I'm a little worried about the way that we've been playing on the defensive backside, especially in the last game. Towards the end of the game, it was kind of a little bit of rough. Obviously, Callahan and Boye being back is nice. And Callahan playing in the slot is very well.
Very nice.
It's a well-coached thing. It's very nice to have. But I don't know if AJ Boye or Bassey, and depending on who gets it, Ojemudia might be getting the start on the corner as well, is going to be able to keep up with Devontae Parker and Tua's accuracy. And that's going to be my worry. I think that's going to be someone I'm going to be watching. And if not, I mean, not to pick two people, but on the opposite side with Hollins, Parker does get a lot of attention. He is going to be a first read, but Mac Hollins is not a terrible receiver. He has the capability of breaking it off. That's the receiving core on the outside is who I'm most worried about.
Yeah, I get that. I'm going to pick a guy on the inside, though, Jakeem Grant, but I'm going to pick him for a different reason. He's the guy who returned a punt for a touchdown a couple weeks ago. And I think, that, you know, as a receiver, he's more of a special teams player overall, but as a receiver, he's got that, like, handler speed. Exactly. He's really, really fast, strong hands, and a low center of gravity, so he's hard to take down. But he's also a really dangerous punt returner. And with the Broncos' god-awful special teams, just miserable. Like, it's like a hot, burning circle of garbage.
You just hold your breath every time. Like,
you
every
see him, it's like by driving by a dumpster. You know, you just throw your, like, shirt over your nose. You try to look away, and then hopefully nothing bad happens. But then Jakeem Grant comes around.
Yeah, it's funny. We go three and out, and then we have to punt it, and everybody in Broncos country is like, shit. And it's not because we went three and out. It's because we have to punt it.
Exactly. That's what we're actually stressed out about. So, Jakeem Grant is the player I'm looking for, but, you know, offensively, but also on special teams. He's just very electrifying, and, you know, it is what it is. So, on the flip side, the Broncos defense. So,
hold on. Jakeem Grant is 5'7".
He's a little guy, yeah.
He's small. Well, is there anybody shorter than him in the NFL? There's got to be.
I mean, you know what, Jared? You do that right now. Look it up right now and report
shortest
back to
NFL
us.
Player. I want to find this out. I want to find this out because 5'7" is small.
And then me and David are going to talk about this upcoming game, okay? All right, cool. So then, David, on this Broncos defense, who do you think can stand out and have a good game?
Well, you know what? I took Bradley Chubb in my in last week's team trends column, and it didn't work out for me. I'm doubling down, though. I'm going for a double Chubb this
Chubb
week.
For the
That's right. You know,
this, what a great week, man. When you get a double Chubb in a week, it's a great week.
It's a beautiful thing, my friend.
Oh, really?
They've got Austin Jackson playing, their rookie playing left tackle. And he's not, you know, he's no Mekhi Becton this year as far as rookie left tackles go. I think it's a favorable matchup for Chubb. You know, I like I said, he's really been kind of a boom or bust player this season for the Broncos. He has a couple of stretches in games where he's just like dominant, you know, two sacks, a forced fumble. Then he kind of disappears for a couple of games. I think this is one of the games where he's got a, you know, resurgence. I think he's going to make it a little bit harder for Tagovailoa and that Dolphins offense this week.
Yeah, good pick. Jared, who are you taking? Did you find out who's the shortest player in the NFL?
So Darren Sproles and Tariq Cohen are both 5'6". So
there you go. Darren Sproles is still playing.
Is he really?
That's nice.
Wow. He's still an Eagle? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, we talk about like Frank Gore being one of these old guys like Adrian Peterson, but Darren Sproles, man, has been playing football for a long time. Remember how sick he was with the Chargers?
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Didn't he play for them when they were in that dark blue uniform and that was their home uniform? I feel like it was that long ago.
It was.
Yeah.
Back when we were in cribs and rolling around saying Mama Dada.
We were in ninth grade, so I was still saying Mama Dada, but yeah.
Well,
okay. Anyways. So on the defense, I'm looking for AJ Johnson, Alexander Johnson, AJ. Alexander Johnson, I'm expecting him to have a big game this week. He's been playing lights out day in and day out, and I think he's an unsung hero of this defense. He doesn't get the big sacks. He doesn't get the big, you know, the big plays. Every once in a while, he'll get a big, you know, a big stop, but he's the guy that's consistently stopping run games. He's the guy that's consistently putting pressure on quarterbacks and making sure that the defensive line is doing their job. I'm looking for Alexander Johnson to have a big game this week.
Yeah, cool. I'm picking, as we just talked about a few minutes ago, but Bryce Callahan. I love Bryce Callahan with the Broncos, man. He has come together this year, especially at that nickel spot. And I think that, you know, with this game, with this team, he's going to be a very important factor, whether he plays outside or inside. But Bryce Callahan needs to be at his best just to stop those quick passes, to disrupt, you know, Tua's rhythm, to potentially get a pick, to, you know, do something, make a big play, because he's probably the best DB right now in the Broncos, arguably the best defensive player, I think. Honestly, he's playing freaking great. And then just as an update here, as I look at this roster, every time it blows me away, but there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 players on IR. Like, holy bonkers.
And we're still, according to Pro Football Focus, one of the top five defenses in the league.
Exactly. And on this defense, so there's 4, 5 IRs, 5 outs, right? Guys who are just out, they're not IR, but out. And then there's 4 questionable players, and we're still a top 3 defense in the league.
Right.
So, man, Fangio is doing something right. He might not know how to call a timeout, but good Lord, he can coach a defense.
But I'll tell you what, so some of those outs are pretty important too. Like Shelby Harris isn't out. I mean, we got rid of the IRs. Those guys, you kind of have to count them out, right? They're done for the season. They're gone. Yeah. But there's some big guys that are on the out list that have, especially the last couple games. I mean, the fact that against Atlanta that we were missing our top 2 corners and our top defensive linemen, they were just gone for that game, was tough. And against the Raiders, the same thing. Missing one of the big defensive linemen is just as a big hit to a defense who's already pretty thin.
Yeah, and still performing well, man. If this team was at full strength, we'd be complaining about something else, probably.
Yes.
But it wouldn't be about the injuries. Okay, so, I mean, that kind of rounds off the rosters here. You know, as we kind of move in towards the end of this, like, Jared, what are your final thoughts about this game? Like, what are you really hoping for, ultimately?
My hope is going back to the rant that I had at the beginning. We need to come back to the run game. We need to establish the run game. Broncos country needs to stop caring that we run on 2nd and 10, because that's one of our strengths. You can run on 2nd and 10. That's fine. You can run on 2nd and 10. The fact that you're getting frustrated with running on 2nd and 10, it makes me mad.
Here's what's frustrating about it now. That's one of the things we're good at, is running on 2nd and 10. Right. It's like,
because we throw on 1st down and we get nowhere, or we get sacked, or we throw it away, and then we run on 2nd and 10. Everyone's getting mad. Okay, now I'm basically calling the entire Broncos playbook. I'm sorry, but I just think we need to get back to the run game, establishing the run. We can't just abandon it after 1 or 2 bad runs and just go from there. We have to go back to establishing the run. I want to see us going back to establishing Philip Lindsay as our #1 running back. I do get that we have to put Melvin Gordon there for passing plays and for some run plays. I would even expect a 50-50 split. What we've been doing the last 2 weeks has not been working. And against this team who's built from the secondary, we cannot throw 45 times and expect to win this game.
Not going to happen. Nope.
David?
Yeah.
What are your final thoughts?
Man, it stinks to be 3-6 again. You know, I know there's a lot of different circumstances that surround these seasons. And we've got a totally new offense trying to gel with each other and a new offensive coaching staff. But, the record is what it is. And it's tough to be here again. We should be thankful, though, that we've got football to watch this season at the very least with everything going on. I think it's kind of important to keep that in perspective. And there's always something to enjoy with this Broncos team. You know, I fully expect that they could surprise us and pull out a win this week. It would not shock me at all, because they're still a team with so much talent. They're capable of beating just about any team in the league. You know, maybe not the Chiefs. We'll get there.
Or the Falcons.
Okay.
Oh, suck on that, David.
Yeah, I have to. I have to. You know what, Matt? I have to, because that was an awful game to watch.
I don't know. Probably I enjoyed it.
I guess what I'm just I guess my this is a very roundabout way of saying just stick with the team, guys. You know, right. Stick with it. Stay on the bandwagon. I mean, not on the bandwagon, but stay on with us. We're going to be here. Well,
jump on the bandwagon, man. It's like all five right. of us from Orange Week are right. chilling.
And that's right. Like, it's great. So. Yeah, come and have a party with us on the bandwagon. It's a super good time. You're going to love it a lot. It's just
eventually we'll be on the top of the hill. It's just
right,
going to take a while.
Right. It's going to take a little while, but we'll get back.
We'll get there. You know, all I really have to say is, you know, you can't leave your team like this, of course. You can't do that. But ultimately, you know, this Dolphins team is very good. It's a strong, well-coached unit, and it's just another test and experience point for Locke in this young offense. Like, you know, they look bad right now, and I know we keep alluding to the future. We've been talking about the future for a while now, but this is the first time, really, in the 3-4 years we've been doing this, that, good Lord, there's a crew to grow with here. You know what I mean? These, right. these are young players that are still finding their stride. They make good plays. They have flashes, and it's going to come together. And I think this Dolphins game, Jared, I agree with you. Let's go back to establishing the run. Playing more of a conservative offense, but in such a way that has it be like minimizing mistakes. You know, like Locke throws some stupid interceptions, you know, absolute bogus interceptions. Like he just, absolutely. If we can limit those, and now if we have to do that by like being a bit more conservative, fine, right? But like, let's just look organized this week, you know? Let's go out and like play some football, have some fun. Everything will be okay. We're all going to be fine. We're all going to survive, keep drinking, and. We're good. Okay. So
I have two final points real quick.
Two final points.
All right. One of them, and it's off of both of your guys' comments. The first one is we are 3-6 for the fourth time in a row.
Yes.
But this is the first time, and we've been doing Orange Weekly now for 5 years, so we've been part of every single one of them. This is the first time that I have been excited for the future being 3-6. Every single time we're 3-6, it's all about downhill. There's nothing we could look forward to. What else are we going to do? Who are we firing? Whatever. This is the first time that we're like, look, we have a young crew that, what David said, this is the second point. What David said, we have such a young group that at any given point we could just light off and the talent just shows when those people do it, which makes me come to that point where we're still not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. If we want to just continue pushing for that.
Oh, speaking of, onto that point though, did you see that today the Raiders have 6 defenders go on the COVID list?
Yeah.
The upcoming game? 6.
Yeah.
And they're playing the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy fuck. If we could get a win this week and the Raiders lose, it's just, you know, narrowing that gap a little
that
bit more.
That much closer to playoff contention. I'm telling you, we're not mathematically eliminated.
But we're pretty close to it.
All right, I am the highest person here, and I would like you guys to both come back to planet Earth. Please.
I'm just saying, the Chiefs are going to dismantle the Raiders.
That's going to happen, yeah. Especially, they're going to be pissed because the Raiders beat them. So
the Chargers are playing the Jets, but the Chargers can't win ever about anything. They've lost, man. I think it was a stat. Like, they're one of two teams who hasn't won a game by less of, I don't know, whatever, some stupid stat.
Less than 7 points, I think.
Something like that. Like, they just keep losing by these narrow margins. And just watch the Jets do it. They almost beat the Pats a couple weeks ago. Just watch it happen this time around.
This is on my radar with the Chargers. Okay. This is new today. Justin Herbert got his haircut. Oh my gosh, he looks even younger.
It shows more zits than the older.
And he looks even younger. He really looks 17.
He looks younger than that. He looks like a 13-year-old boy, man.
Bro, he was 17 5 years ago.
He looks like me in boot camp. That's what
he was a 13-year-old boy less than 10 years ago. Let's not get
into it. But his mustache is still thicker than Jared's.
That's true.
Can we just, it's not that bad.
All right. Well,
So on that note, score predictions, Jared, who do you think is going to win and what's the score?
I think this is a low scoring game. I think that our defense is going to be able to control Tua, last name redacted. And I think that our offense is not going to be able to do what we want them to do. But I do think that both teams are going to try to control the clock. I think this is going to be a low scoring game. 17-13, I think, is my final prediction.
Okay. David?
But you didn't actually, yeah, you didn't say who was going to win.
Oh, Broncos. Look, I don't go for anybody else in this podcast, which is probably why I've been doing so terrible since we started.
Well, Kevin asked me in the group chat earlier this week if I could start picking the Broncos again because they lost.
They did finally lose, yeah.
And I could, but I'm not gonna, because I think this Dolphins defense is going to cause the offense a lot of problems. I think the Dolphins probably add a score on special teams or on defense at a certain point. And I think it's probably something like, I'm also going to go 17 is the score of the winner, but I'm going to go 17-16 Dolphins.
17-16, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of field goals for Brendan McManus.
That's our offense, baby.
That's yes. Top scoring guy right there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the game's going to be that low scoring. I still think that, you know, this is both offenses are capable of putting up points. But I'm going for the team that is on the hottest streak here with 5 consecutive wins. I think the only team in the league with the Saints have won 6 in a row and the Steelers are undefeated at 9 straight wins. So then after that, it's the Dolphins with 5 straight wins. So I'm going to believe their trend keeps going. And I pick the Dolphins to win a score of 23-14. No field goals.
Speaking of 4-year streaks, the Saints have had a 6-game win streak 4 years in a row at some point in their season. Just kind of a opposite side of that coin there.
And last year was with Teddy Bridgewater. This year, Drew Brees might be out for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Collapsed lung, broken ribs. Like, he's, man. And
that
then
was rough. Yeah, he looked rough, too, in that game.
He looked for it. And that's why you signed Jameis Winston. That's why you invest in your backup quarterback. Your team is only as good as your backup quarterback.
Well, let's see how good he is.
Stop rubbing it in.
I feel
personally attacked.
That's what I told. We should have signed Cam Newton to back up Locke, man. I'm telling you, then we'd be rolling with Cam Newton and be okay. But I'm just throwing that in for
now. Now we're living in fantasy land.
Big time fantasy land.
Yeah. Only other thing I want to mention here is, you know, where we're sitting. Denver Broncos are sitting in a tough spot. We got to keep with the team, keep moving with the team. And I think we're going to do well eventually. But like David said in his final closing thoughts, don't leave. We're here to stay. The talking heads are going to ask you to abandon the team. We're not abandoning the team. We're here at Broncos Country forever, and that's where we're going to sit.
Get that talking head negativity out of your life.
Yeah, get that out of there. Okay, boys, how do we always end this one?
Go Broncos.